This is the Ordinary Christians Podcast. Conversations with Christians living ordinary lives that are doing extraordinary things in this world. Ordinary Christians are being swept up into God's greater story of redemption and restoration for His creation. And in that, extraordinary things come from ordinary people. Ordinary Christians is hosted by Bob Bauer, the senior pastor at Faith Church, a multi-site church ministering to Northwest Indiana and South Suburban Chicago. So let's listen in on another extraordinary story from Ordinary Christians.
I'm Bob, and I'm here with Norma Williams, Norma S. Williams. What does the S stand for?
Serrano, my maiden name. And it tells people that I'm Puerto Rican.
Well, see? I'm Dutch, so whatever that means. So we are here, and we have a unique friendship. It started in the most unique way. Norma, tell the audience of Ordinary Christians how we met.
Well, we were both fortunate enough to be asked in 2014, which is insane that it's been that long, to be speakers on a local TEDx. And we both said yes. And so I was a speaker, you were a speaker, and we met at that event, and it was amazing.
It was so, I'll be honest with you, I was excited and nervous at the same time, because I didn't know what to get myself into. And then met you and the other speaker together. The three of us all had one thing in common. We were all Christians. We didn't know that until we got there.
Clue.
That was so fun. And we've become friends through social media, and I've really been impressed by how God's used you as an ordinary Christian in really in extraordinary ways. But before we get into kind of the detail stuff, I want to tell the audience that Norma is famous. She is 2022 Northwest Indiana Influential Woman of the Year.
Forgot about that.
I've never met anybody that famous. That's amazing.
Well, hold on. I need to preface that.
All right.
I am the 2022 Influential Woman of the Year in the construction arena. So that award that they give is for everyone who has sort of different categories of their career. So there was, you know, so professionals, it could have been law or art or, and so for me, it was in construction.
But it's royalty in my world.
Well, I appreciate that. But where is my crown then?
Yeah. Well, you are also the owner and president of Excellence by Design.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about, and, you know, kind of the interior design world. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
So that's actually a really fantastic story. I was going through a divorce, and I was seeking God's face, literally on my bed, crying out to God, Father, I don't know what to do. I've got these children that I need to feed. And actually, the Lord gave me an idea for a t-shirt business. And I was reading the scripture. I happened to be in the Word. I'm literally crying and reading the Bible at the same time. And I was in Proverbs in chapter 3, where it says, I think it's the New Living Translation that says, don't let loyalty and kindness leave you. And in that very moment, the Lord says, start a t-shirt business and call it Loyal Tees.
Oh, very clever.
And I said, Lord, you are so selfish. I can't start a business. I don't know anything about starting a business. I'm 36 years old. I don't know anything about t-shirts and apparel. And so I did nothing. And a couple of months go by and I'm crying out to the Lord again. And He gives me an idea for a safety window business. And I say the same thing. And a couple of months go by and I could begin to feel the Holy Spirit say, you know a lot about painting and design. Start a business around that. But I ignored it. And then finally, this last time, I'm literally on my face. I'm weeping so hard. I have an infant who's 5 months old. Mm. And I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And in my spirit, very clearly, I heard, I already told you what to do. And at that moment, I had $75 to my name. I got up. I took my babies and I took them to an office supply store. And with my very last $75, I bought a ream of pink paper and black ink. And I printed these very generic flyers highlighting what was going to be like a paint design business. We tri-folded those, put the babies in a double stroller because I had at this point, again, like a 5-month-old and a 2.5-year-old and a teenager. And so we tri-folded those 500 flyers and we passed them out door to door until I got my first business.
Amazing.
And that was nearly 18 years ago.
Wow. And God has really catapulted that from that little walk to that store to where you're at right now. Where are you at right now? Where, you know, in the business world now? Where, what are you owning, doing?
Oh, I just love it. So I started the company as a paint contracting business where I designed. And then over the years, because I was a single mother, I hired single mothers. And then I just worked with people along, sort of their timeline when they could be available to work. I fitted them into the schedule. And then over the years, people begin to trust us. And I'm going to tell you partly why, because it is wonderful when a woman opens her door and there's three or four women standing on the other side of that door who are contractors.
Makes sense.
There's such a safety and a comfort. Women love women. And so over time, we learned how to put in floors and do trim and all of these other things. But ultimately, in 2022, the Holy Spirit said that it was time to lay all of those down and to fully start and launch the interior design business, which is called Norma S. Williams Interiors. And so I did that. It was really, really hard at first to sort of make that transition. But in 22, because of the pandemic, I went to some online schooling and I learned a very important software program called SketchUp. And so now I'm able to take any space, put it on a 3D model, and allow people to see what their spaces could look like before they make a single purchase or do any change. And it's just been phenomenal.
Norma, it's so fun watching that development from, because I met you, you know, years ago, and to see through social media how God has taken this ordinary Christian and done really extraordinary things. And before we get into that little deeper part of it, I just have some fun questions for you.
Okay.
All right. So vacations, do you like beaches or mountains?
Oh, beaches.
Okay, I'm with you there. That's totally there. How about like Cubs or Sox?
Ooh, all the way Cubs.
Oh, I like that a lot. Sorry, we offended all the ordinary Christians that like the other team. What's your name again? I forgot. No,
I can't remember.
No, that's right. If you could have coffee with a famous historic figure, who would it be?
Oh, this is easy. Harriet Tubman. She is my hero of heroes.
Very good choice. Very good choice. If you were to write a book, what would it be about?
Well, I've already written a book. It's going to come out in the spring, and it's actually a book about fasting.
Now, isn't that fascinating?
Yes. I'm on the last edit.
Wow. I learned that myself just now. Yeah. Audience, get that book when she comes out.
Yeah.
What's the name again?
So the name of the book is going to be The Third Win, and it's based on Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus gives us three wins: when you give, when you pray, and the last one that most people ignore, when you fast.
Now, that is very fascinating to me. Fascinating. That's a play on words.
Yes.
I'm on somewhat of a kick myself in fasting, and I will make sure I read it as well.
Definitely.
Now, it's great to know the fun surface little thing, get to know you, but give me two or three things the ordinary Christian audience, to really know who Norma is. What are two or three things that we need to know that will get you?
Okay, let's see. So the first one is, this is probably not a surprise, I am an extreme extrovert. I love people. And so I always invite people over, have people over, because I get a lot of energy. I love God's people and I love the Word of God. So that's kind of one thing. The other thing is that I am drawn to all women. So you're either my sister or my daughter. And I'm a natural mentor. I just can't help it. I just believe that God has given me a deep grace to love women well. And the other thing that people should know about me is that my back door is almost always unlocked.
Oh, that's
literally
nice.
I have a culture in my house. People know. They just knock on the door and walk right in.
So
I love that.
That's good. Let's go a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Entrepreneur.
Yes.
How did that come about? Because they're ordinary Christians. They're sitting there going like, I could never be that ordinary.
Sure. So this is where your walk with faith becomes real. As I said, I was 36 years old in a really bad spot. My kids were in a really bad spot. And one of the greatest things that God has ever done for me is that He has never allowed me to have a plan B. Let me explain that to you. It means that I didn't have an education to fall back on. I didn't have the finances of my parents to fall back on. I didn't have child support to fall back on. And because I didn't have any of those things, I only had Jesus to fall back on. So when life got hard or life gets hard, if you have a plan B, it's easier to go to the plan B than it is to trust Jesus.
Beautiful.
I didn't have that. And even though I was angry and bitter about it for many, many years, God has used that as a platform to get me from there to the proverbial here. This is a faith walk. And so my entire life's dream is to teach women how to walk by faith.
That's fascinating. I've really enjoyed following you on social media and that how God has evolved that passion for women, single women. You mentioned when you started the business, you only hired single women. I mean, right? Is that correct?
For the most part, by far and large. I mean, let's face it, you know, birds of a feather flock together. So I was very comfortable and I had a lot of other friends that were also single mothers. There is something about knowing what your limitations are. And so it made it very easy for me to hire single women and understand that they had limitations. If Susie, who had three kids, was only available to work Monday and Tuesday morning and all day on Friday, there was no need in pressuring her to work more than Monday and Tuesday morning and all day on Friday. It meant that I could find other single mothers who could fill in the gaps. And then after that, I just began to hire women in general and then women at risk. And then I remember that for a season, I had a lot of women in their 30s on staff. And I would look at these women and try to mentor them and think to myself, what would your life look like if I had gotten to you at 18 and 19? And then for a season, I purposely began to hire much younger women because I wanted to be able to sow so deeply into their lives. And now, of course, I have men and women on staff.
Well, amazing story of influence for an ordinary Christian. You know, for you to say, I didn't have the education, didn't have the finance, didn't have all the backing, plan B, all that stuff. And yet here's God taking you, saying, you're willing. Now, what would you say to that person who's listening, the ordinary Christian going like, can they be an entrepreneur in any way? What coaching would you give them?
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say that with man, nothing is possible, but with God, all things are possible. So you're either going to make a decision in your faith that you are going to believe that or you're not. And there isn't a middle ground. If you have an interest in being an entrepreneur, it's because the Holy Spirit has planted that as a seed. And here's your permission to go.
Passion. How much does passion play into this?
So I do a lot of, you know, motivational speaking, and I talk at length about passion. I think that it is so important that you have a physical, a spiritual connection to the thing that you want to do. I am obviously passionate about women. You know it because my entire face lights up when I start to talk about women. I think that passion is the fuel that keeps that engine going on days that you're no longer interested in the hard work behind it. The why. At the end of the day, your passion is your why. Nail that and you can do anything.
You hear that, audience? That is really good advice, encouragement for entrepreneurs. Tell us a story of like someone who that you started, maybe a woman that you started mentoring and you see flourishing now. What does that look like? What popped your mind?
That is so easy. So I hired a lady in 2018. Her name is Claudia. She is an immigrant here, and she had at the time two sisters and even a brother who came, and they were all immigrants from Mexico. And I hired her in 2018 for a sort of a maintenance contract that I'd had, and she was cleaning. And even though she's Catholic, she really appreciated that I started the day in prayer. And so this was when I had a contract in South Bend. We were in South Bend for 5 months getting a hotel up. And so I was driving. The Lord had us make this drive hour and 20 minutes every day. And at the time, I think we had like 25 people on staff. And so every single day I would drive to South Bend. And then before we started, I would, you know, have everyone hold hands and we would sort of start in prayer. And through that, I think she was just absolutely amazed to see someone's faith outside the church. And I just kept telling her, whatever you want to do. And this was an older lady. She was in her 50s, older 50s. And I just kept telling her, whatever you want to do, you can do. And a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, she left the company so she could start her own cleaning business. And I just, and she's not the only one. When I would say maybe, oh, the time gets away from you. So maybe a dozen years ago, I had another young lady that worked for me, also a single mom who was here. But what she really wanted to do was to raise her kids at home and start a daycare. And I just encouraged her. And that's what she did.
What a selfless act on your part, because you said you're basically raising up and losing a good employee.
Yeah, but
you're
goal,
unleashing them.
So here's the thing. When you're an entrepreneur, these are not your people. You get to borrow them, sort of like your children. They don't belong to you. They belong to God. But you need to foster them for the season that you have them. And if that is your mentality and you hold everything in your hand lightly and nothing belongs to you, the Lord can trust you. I think about the scripture that says, I can trust you with a little, I can trust you with a lot. And people always think that that's a monetary issue. It's not just a monetary. This applies to all things in life.
Yep. How about women and tools? What comes to your mind? I think it's so hilarious. Tell me this.
Okay.
You're talking to a guy that can't really, I don't even know what is a left-handed or right-handed hammer. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. So tools. So as you know, I started a construction business in 2005, and that was amazing. I was a really good painter, and in part because I'm just a great designer. And when you're meticulous, sometimes you need to do something yourself until you can sort of train up other people. So again, we were, started the company and as painters and still was designing, but I couldn't always afford to, let me go back a little bit so I'm not confusing anyone. Here's the deal. When I first started my business, I didn't have the mentality that God wanted me to prosper. So I didn't look at this as from a prospering perspective, just a get it done.
Kind of survival.
Yes, absolutely survival mode. So I learned how to do things myself because I didn't even know how to properly charge a client for some work. But again, God uses all things for his glory. As a result of that, I learned how to be an expert painter and how to put in a floor and all of these things. And I was able to take women literally from off the street and say, today you're going to learn how to install a floor. With precision. It was incredible. So I love it.
That's amazing. My wife, ironically, I need you to mentor her because she's buying tools left and right. And I don't even know what they do. But she's starting to learn that a miter saw and all this kind of stuff. And because she's naturally by nature an artist. And so, yes, I may need to hire you to mentor
her. You are more than welcome. Right, I would love to do that.
What are some dreams for you?
This is easy. I have an ultimate dream. My ultimate dream in life is to build affordable housing for single mothers.
Wow, great dream.
Now, how am I getting there? Today, I have decided to get there by starting a ministry. So I have a ministry called The Joyous Woman, and it is a ministry that teaches women how to be joyful. Now, it seems a little oxymoron because people almost always think that you have to be happy or joyful based on your circumstances. The number one thing that I teach women is that your birthright to be joyful is your way of saying to the Lord, I put down my right to complain about the parts of my life that I'm unhappy with. And I pick up the joy that you have given to me, that you've given me access to, in exchange for that, because I trust you that much. It's sort of a backwards mentality. Well, it's backwards to the world, but it's not backwards to the Lord.
You're preaching.
And so you have to start with what the Lord has given and then work that into your life backwards. So my dream and my goal is to have this non-for-profit, build and grow, and then to formulate enough relationship in the community that other people catch wind of how powerful this is, and that together as a community we will see. When you rescue the single mother, you really do rescue the village.
And generations.
Yes. Yes. And then what happens if you then teach those single women, those single mothers, not just how to love themselves, because if they learned how to love themselves, then they'll stop the horrible cycle of choosing bad partners, which was what happened to me. And also, if you teach them how to use tools, you make them self-sufficient. And I'm not talking about mansions. I'm talking about building them safe homes a healthy, strong home environment so that they can learn how to process their finances, how to process their mindsets, and how to find joy. I really do believe that my interest in doing this for the female, I do believe that probably ministries out there that want to do this for men, I think that if we do this in the community, our lives, our world will change.
Oh, wow. That is a beautiful dream. And I hope and pray that the dream that you see in reality soon. It already is starting out. I know that. What again? The name of it is Joyous Women.
It's the Joyous Woman.
Joyous Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, our audience is ordinary Christians.
Yep.
But God uses ordinary Christians in extraordinary ways.
Yep.
What kind of advice, as we start to wrap up, would you give, just any advice you'd give ordinary Christians?
So here's what I'm going to say. You are an ordinary Christian, but you are not ordinarily loved. You were loved so much that someone died for you. And because that someone died for you, you get to live extraordinarily. It doesn't matter what it looks like to the world. What does your faith look like to the Lord? You know, probably the biggest advice I give, I'm going to go back to this joy thing. This joy isn't, it's not just an option. If you don't find it, if you don't claim it, if you don't live it, if you don't make it your thing, every ounce of your life will be ordinary. But God has called you uniquely. That's why our fingertips, right? We have these unique fingertips. They say our tongues are unique. There's so many aspects of our life that are unique, where we're unique. And even in your ordinary walk, you were created for extraordinary things.
Amen.
With Christ.
No doubt about it. Even though you and I are deep friends, we've become friends with TEDx and through social media, one of the things that's contagious is joy. And you carry that, you exude it, and that's from the Lord. Absolutely clear as a bell to me. I know the audience as well. I really was intrigued by that whole idea of taking the things we want to complain about and give those over to the Lord and take the joy part into that God has. And live life out of that joy.
Yes.
This is a message ordinary Christians need to hear.
Yes.
Because this world is desperate for joy. I did a little stalking on social media. You were pretty fascinated by this Asbury College revival.
I was. I went.
Wouldn't you like to see that in Northwest Indiana?
I would love to see it in Northwest
Indiana.
So how are we going to
pray that to happen?
Okay. So this is how we're going to... I got a plan already.
All right. Give it to us.
Now, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to stop complaining.
Because hear that audience, stop complaining.
Stop
I
complaining.
Totally second
mm-hmm.
that.
So I think that there's a formula, and I want to be very careful, and I say this lightly, but I do believe that there is some truth behind this formula. But for me, the formula to revival is repentance,
yes,
love, and joy. I think that when we walk free and we repent to the Lord, we're basically saying, I trust you more than me, and I believe in your way more than my way, and I want to be more like you. When we say love, that means that we're going to stop judging other people who don't sound like us, look like us, talk like us, believe like us, or hope like us. And then obviously that last component, which is I've decided that I am going to live in the state of joy because Jesus died for me to have it. I believe when, as believers, we start from that seed, that revival can come right here to Northwest Indiana. I went to Asbury because I saw something online that I wanted. I'm going to tell you that being in a room with 1,500 other believers who are not just crying out in repentance, who weren't just raising their hands with their eyes closed, loving on Jesus, but there was so much joy in the room that it was tangible. And there is no reason we can't have that right here. And I mean to have it.
Yep. Every ordinary Christian, unite. Please, let's unite around the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's a missing link in Christianity.
It is.
Because we've kind of given ourselves over to a world of negativity and a world that's really got a lot of problems. But here God has given us this gift of joy that his Spirit has implanted in us, and we got to live out of that joy. Now, give us some closing ways to get a hold of the influence you have. What's your business called?
So I have two businesses. One is Excellence by Design.
Is that like a website?
So it's actually all right now under the normaswilliams.com website.
Great. Okay.
And then you can find me on Facebook there. Actually, you can find me everywhere there. But then definitely visit the Facebook page, which is called The Joyous Woman. It's a fantastic page, and you'll meet other people there.
Thank you so much, Norma. S. Williams, I think it's so fun to be with you and to share in this conversation about ordinary Christians doing extraordinary things that God has done. And we want the audience to know this. Both of us share this. We want all of this we just shared to go to the glory of God. Amen. Not our glory, the glory of the one who saved us. And thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to the Ordinary Christians podcast. Ordinary Christians is a production of Faith Church in Dyer, Indiana, a Bible-believing, outreach-oriented, multi-site community of believers committed to changing the world one relationship at a time. More at wearefaith.org. For questions or comments, email us at podcast@wearefaith.org. This podcast is produced and edited by Jason Boltema and Brad Polinsa. On behalf of everyone at Faith Church, we say thank you for listening to the Ordinary Christians podcast.